Welcome to the History of North America. I'm Mark Vinette. Ignatius of Loyola was founder of the Jesuit religious order that sent priests to North America on a mission to evangelize the natives. Ignatius was a Spanish Catholic priest and theologian who dedicated his fascinating and adventurous life to being a soldier for Christ and leader of the Society of Jesus, better known as the Jesuits. Let's learn more about St. Ignatius with the Catholic Saints podcast.
So we're going to talk about this great, great saint, St. Ignatius of Loyola. For he was your classic Jesuit who was brilliant, well-studied, an incredible holy man and very wise. And Ignatius, who was an officer in the army. And as an officer, he was a leader of men in the army. He had to train, and then he had to train others. And so he uses the tools of the idea of having an objective and training and rules and discipline. He uses that backdrop to come up with spiritual training, because that's really how he sees what he's doing now in his new vocation. He's going to be a knight for Christ, but he realizes he needs a new kind of training. He has the old training for to be a knight of this world. He knows how to train and fight with the sword and how to lead men and how to have armor, but he doesn't know how to put on the spiritual armor. He doesn't know how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so he needs to learn spiritual training, and so he uses the same practical principles for training as a soldier for training spiritually. And I think that is the practical genius behind what he does. He takes his knowledge from one field, that is being a soldier, and he translates that into the spiritual life, and it becomes incredibly practical and powerful for people.
Spiritual exercises, that might sound like doing exercises. It means drills. So he's running drills. That's what you would do with military drills. So the spiritual exercises, the spiritual drills that you would do. And when he structures his Jesuits, the Society of Jesus that he founds later, the head of that order is called the Superior General. So he uses military images.
It's an army. It really is. And that's so powerful. It's such a classic tradition now since the time of Ignatius in the 16th century to do an Ignatian retreat or Ignatian spirituality. And a lot of you might be wondering, well, what is Ignatian spirituality? So we could talk a little bit about that, Ben. But I'll just mention too that we have Father Timothy Gallagher, who has a series of talks on Formed where he talks about discerning spirits, and it's Ignatian spirituality. And Father Gallagher does a great job of breaking down and practically teaching these spiritual principles that came out of St. Ignatius's spiritual exercises, which was a training manual for discipleship in Christ, really.
These are famous, and these are wonderful to expose yourself to in your own prayer life and discernment to read. One of the most famous meditations that he puts in there, week one is reflecting on sin. Week two, the life of Christ, the miracles, the teaching of Christ. Week three, passion and death of Christ. Week four, resurrection and ascension. See, going back to basics, go back to the life of Christ to realize that I'm a sinner in need of the mercy of our Lord. Let me get to know the Lord. And one of the meditations, the most famous, is the two standards. He's very vivid on imagination. He really wants you to use your imagination. Imagine putting yourself on a battlefield and the two armies are separated and there's two standards. There's a standard of Satan and there's a standard of Christ. And you're going to choose which side of the battle you're going to fight in. And you don't get to be a bystander. You don't get to be a pacifist and say, I'm not in the battle. No, you're in it and you have to be on one of those sides. Are you going to choose to serve Satan or serve Christ? And it's a very powerful meditation that he gives.
I love how he uses his imagination. And you can see how his vanity in his pre-conversion time, he uses his imagination to imagine all these different things. And that fed his vanity. But then as he convalesced and he imagined what it would be like to serve Christ, to be a saint like St. Dominic or St. Francis of Assisi and to give your life to Christ. And now in the spiritual exercises, he wants people during these 4 weeks of a retreat to really systematically go through the life of Christ. In that first week, you choose. There's two armies. We're in a great battle in life. And there's two sides you can serve. And there's no independence. There's no neutral. There's no Switzerland in this battle. You're with Christ or you're against him. You know, the way Ignatius framed it for people is life is a spiritual battle. And there's a struggle for two sides going on. Struggle of evil and the devil and the struggle for Christ. And it's really stark. It kind of reformulates your commitment.
It does. And one of the themes that runs through the exercises is quo vadum et ad quid. Where am I going and what am I here for? What am I going to do with my life? He's constantly getting us to imagine Christ and imagine life without Christ and how desolate and how despairing that would be, because he wants to drive us to a choice. He saw life is short. We're only here at a brief moment of time. We want to make a decision. He realizes all the time he wasted using his imagination for poor things. He wants to use his imagination now, consecrated to Christ, to help people make a good decision to follow him.
So inspiring. I just love what Ignatius did with those spiritual exercises. And it's something that, to go back to the quote you had before about reform has to be ongoing. You don't just go through a conversion once. Didn't Ignatius convalescing in bed in the castle, Didn't he go through his conversion? Why is he spending a year after a pilgrimage praying about whose side am I going to be on and where is my loyalty and going through the life of Christ? I mean, that's kind of intense, but it gets to this idea of ongoing reform. We have a conversion, but we have to have a deeper and deeper ongoing conversion. And I think Ignatius's spiritual exercises really point the way towards that in a practical way.
Ignatius said that in looking back at all the graces of his life, the conversion, the founding of the Jesuits, the growth of the Jesuits, being a priest, all the graces of his life, he said, were nothing compared to the grace he received at Manresa. He really saw this as the foundational moment of his life, of a deeper conversion to Christ and a complete placing himself under the lordship of Christ.
That can only happen when you're generous with God. You have to give him time. I think one of the things that is, you know, certainly for Ignatius, and he made it for his followers, but they have to do a retreat every year. And this idea of making a retreat and having a silent retreat is so powerful. I was gone last week and I did my annual retreat. I like to spend at least 3 days. There's not a lot of retreat centers that are open right now. So I went up and just went camping in the mountains for 3-4 days, silent retreat by myself. So speaking of Ignatius being here in Manresa, it's so powerful. It's so important for us to spend that extended time, not just to have our daily prayer time, but to spend that extra time once a year. Give a couple of days, give 3 days totally to God and immerse yourself in the Word of God and listen to God. That's what Ignatius did, and it's so powerful.
Think of what a soldier would not want to do, retreat. They don't want to retreat, but it's so essential. Sometimes you just have to retreat so that you can gather your forces, gather your strength to then do the counterattack. So retreat doesn't mean you're running away from something. It actually means that you're regathering yourself to prepare for the next fight, the battles that lay ahead.
And there's a lot of battles ahead for Ignatius in his life. So let's just talk about the next stage of his life. After he prays, gets the discernment in Manresa, he goes on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. He thought he would be called to be in the Holy Land. That's what he wanted to dedicate his life to. Praying scripture gave him a desire for pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Well, he goes on pilgrimage. The Franciscans tell him to go back home. They kick him out. We've got the Holy Land covered. You go with something else. And then he's had these profound spiritual experiences. He's got these practical exercises and he wants to start leading people through these exercises. And he starts to do that. But then different church leaders say, well, who are you to start being a spiritual guide? This is before he's a priest. And they say, you need to get educated. You got to get a degree. What he does is he goes to university.
Because he wasn't planning going to get educated. He just wanted to be a soldier. He didn't need the schooling. So he goes back as an adult with younger people. But he suffers all these abuses and humbles himself as part of his humility. And he goes to this incredible training. And at the University of Paris, the best university in Europe at the time, he meets 7 men that he begins to lead through the spiritual exercises that form the foundation for the Society of Jesus. They're going to consecrate themselves under poverty, chastity, and obedience, and a special devotion to do whatever the Holy Father asks them to do. And this is the beginning of the Society of Jesus. They're dedicated the holy name of Jesus.
I think one of the great times of testing for Ignatius was this time where he has all these great spiritual insights. He has a vision of Our Lady. He has these powerful mystical experiences in prayer. And yet the local clergy are saying, no, you can't do that. You have to stop leading people on retreats and doing things until you get educated. And it would have been easy for him to say, wait a minute, you're not living a deeply reformed life. You're not deeply spiritual. Why would I listen to you? He could have done that. But I think at this great test, he decided to obey the church members who weren't spiritual like him, who were kind of worldly and at best. And yet he obeyed them. He obeyed the church and he got that education. He spent years and years studying. And yet that led him, as you said, to Paris, to meeting the right people. And he meets these other students who become with him, his companions, these 7 companions that will form the basis of this new religious order, which is really extraordinary. If he's not obedient, there's not the Jesuit order, I believe.
I think that's a great insight and a great observation, because obedience is a very difficult thing to do, to practice. And it comes from the word to listen to in Latin. You have to first listen to what the Lord wants you to do before you can say yes to it. And he's listening to those who've been rightfully put over him. And he might disagree with their assessment, but yet he still says yes. And it bears incredible fruit in his life.
Look at the lives of the saints, and I think of St. Ignatius. That was a key test. And I think the devil really wanted to make him trip up at that point to say, you're so spiritual, you don't need to do these things. What's getting more education going to do? And what was getting more education at the time was going to do was, first off, obedience, conformity of his will to the will of God. And then secondly, God blessed that obedience. And he got a good theological education, which was going to be very important for him to lead this order that were going to become an order of teachers.
Even in Ignatius's lifetime, there's incredible fruit. I think 1,000 members by the time he dies in 1556. And we really see what the Jesuits, in looking at them, what they were dedicated to comes out of the life of St. Ignatius. They're dedicated to education. This is one of the great things that Jesuits are known for today, is think of all the colleges and universities that they have founded. Look at the legacy of the Jesuits in the church. And the education was also to evangelize, so that this great passion that Ignatius has to evangelize, that he sends missionaries to the East and to the West. Because they're an intellectual order, he forms them so they can, when they go East and they go West, they can engage the culture that they meet, but also apply the principles of the gospel without changing the gospel at all, but bringing it to the culture in which they meet, and they convert people. Francis Xavier, one of his most famous followers, is an incredible missionary evangelizing the East. We're familiar with in the West, St. Isaac Jogues, St. John de Brebeuf here in North America. And then the Jesuits were also key in re-evangelizing or keeping the faith going in Elizabethan England when all the great persecution. And so they combated heresy there. So I think education and evangelization are two things that was key to Ignatius's spirituality and to his life, seeing how he served the mission of the church. And then we see that as part of their legacy.
He didn't plan to be an educational order. It kind of just happened. Obviously, it didn't happen by chance. It was God's providence. But I think Ignatius and the early Jesuits were so focused on formation, that spiritual formation, the spiritual exercises, formation. And I think it became almost kind of natural for them to fall into education, because I really believe that education is about formation. Like St. Ignatius, like so many of these great saints, like St. Augustine, they recognized that at the heart of formation and at the heart of education is formation of the heart and the mind by the truths of God. And that formation equips us, trains us to be disciples of Christ in the world. And that's why I find St. Ignatius so inspiring and his story so compelling.
Check out the YouTube version of this episode, which has accompanying images. I'm Mark Vinette, and I hope you're enjoying the ride. Doctors endorse it, nutritionists recommend it, and customers love it. Calotrin Healthy Weight Loss. Ron in Texas lost 35 pounds. Marie in Pennsylvania lost 117 pounds with Calotrin. Diane not only lost weight, but she also found relief from arthritis. Lynn lost over 45 pounds. Calotrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calotrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calotrin has an amazing 86% success rate with their 90-day supply. And this week, take advantage of their President's Day sale. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is so easy. Just text the word HISTORY to the code 30605, and we'll send you a link to this special offer. Again, text HISTORY, that's HISTORY, using the code 30605.